It was 7 years ago this month that we began going through the Psalms one at a time, starting with Psalm number one. And over those 7 years, we have covered 54 of the 150 Psalms. So that today brings us to Psalm 55. At this rate, we will reach Psalm 150 in about 14 more years. I'll only be 97, so I think we'll make it okay. Psalm 55 was written by David, like most of the Psalms. Not all, but most of the Psalms are written by David. Someone asked a Christian man, and he said, "What is the image that comes to your mind when you think about David?" I want to read his response to you. He said, "I see a Brad Pitt lookalike." I get that mental image because David was a brave, valiant warrior. Nothing seemed to scare him. David's the one who wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" He went on and he said, nothing shall scare him. When he was a teenager, he killed the giant Goliath. Can you imagine that? As a teenager, he killed the giant Goliath with a sling. And before that, he killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. He bravely led his band of mighty men against the Philistines while cleverly keeping out of the clutches of the jealous King Saul. So in my mind, he said, David was fearless. Well, I definitely get all that. But there's another side of David that this man did not address. And when we read his Psalms, we are often introduced to a very sensitive guy. Full of emotions, including fear and depression. And I think David was probably subject to panic attacks. I don't know that, but I think he was. So welcome to Psalm 95, verse 1. David said, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy." Plea. Have you ever been there? Have you ever just thrown your hands up and said, "Help, God, I can't do it." You plea with God. I'll bet you have. I've been there. And then he continued. David said, "Attend to me and answer me. I am restless. I am restless in my complaint and I moan." Can you hear David moaning? Have you ever moaned to God? I'm having flashback memories like crazy when I moan to God. He says, "And I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked." And if you keep on reading in the psalm, there are a lot of other emotionally charged words, such as anguish, terrors of death, fear and trembling, and overwhelming horror. I mean, David was a feeler. And he was a pretty dramatic feeler. I mean, we guys tend to think that the women are always the dramatic ones. And we guys have it all together. Well, that's not true. Not true. David must have been having a really, really bad day when he wrote this. And in verse 6, he revealed how he was going to deal with it. And here's what he wrote. "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and the tempest." In other words, this fearless guy wanted to run away from his problems. Have you ever felt like you wanted to run away from your problems? Have you ever spit out, woe is me, statements to anybody who would listen the way David did in this psalm? Have you ever just wanted to escape somehow like David did? No judgment. I'm just asking you. No judgment. You see, we all have emotions. We all have emotions. And some of us hide our emotions. And some of us broadcast our emotions. There's nothing wrong with having emotions. It's very natural. We all have them. But how we handle our emotions reveals a lot about whether we are spiritually mature or spiritually immature. Speaking of immaturity, that idea of running away from your problems is very childish. In fact, many, many children have said they wanted to run away from their parents, and some have even tried it. I remember when my own son, who's also named David, was about 5 years old, and I don't know what his mother said to him that day that got him so upset, but he decided he couldn't take it anymore, and he was going to run away. And so he walked out the door, and he hid behind a bush in the front yard. And we could see him from the window. So we decided just to leave him there and see what happened. And pretty soon he got over. He thought he was totally out of sight. Very childish. And you and I can do exactly the same thing. Run away and try to hide. And eventually give up. It doesn't matter whether you are an immature child or an immature adult. That can be the way we handle it. And neither hiding your emotions or broadcasting your emotions are healthy. Don't hide your emotions. And please don't dump them on everybody. Back to Psalm 55. So what in the world was causing him all this anxiety? Verse 12, he said, for it is not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man of my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. In other words, David was betrayed by someone very close to him, a friend, a companion, the last person he ever expected to turn on him, turned on him. We don't know for sure who it was. We don't know for sure what he did. But David was hurt, and he was hurt even more deeply because he was betrayed by someone that he thought was safe. Has that ever happened to you? Has that ever happened to you? You treasured that person as a friend. In David's terms, a familiar friend. And they turned on you. And maybe they were more than a friend. Maybe they were a family member. I thought of a painful example that I'm very thankful I have not experienced, and that is divorce. I hesitate to use this example because it's very painful and it's a raw experience, and I know some of you have been through it. Or perhaps someone close to you has been through it. Divorce is a bitter example of a broken relationship involving someone with whom you shared life deeply. David was experiencing something like a divorce in his life, and he was in deep anguish, and he was having a very hard time handling it. Very human. Now, the Bible tells us in many places that David was a man after God's own heart. That's a wonderful description. And God tells us that in the Old Testament, and he tells us that in the New Testament. Here's an Old Testament example. This is 1 Samuel chapter 13. Samuel is confronting the king, King Saul, because King Saul had disobeyed the commands of God. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart," speaking of David, "and appointed him ruler over the people." And then Paul expanded upon that in the New Testament in Acts 13. Paul testified to the same thing, and when he did, he was quoting God, and he said, "God said this, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything that I want him to do." What a wonderful description of a Christian man or woman. And that quality in David is also found in Psalm 95. For instance, in verse 16, he says, "But I call to God." I call to God. That is the first step. That is step number one. "But I call to God, and the Lord will save me." That is a faith statement of a committed Christian, a person committed to God, a person who longs after the heart of God. "I call to God, and he will save me." Brothers and sisters, do you worship the living God? You do. And therefore, if you need a balm to heal your hurt, it is available to you. It's right there. When somebody hurts you, running away is not an option. The first thing you need to do is call to God. Call to God. In the next verse, David said, "Evening and morning and noon, I utter my complaint and I moan, and he hears my voice." That's a huge faith statement, but God has made it very clear that he hears your voice when you call to him. He hears your voice when you pray to him. When you are consumed by strong emotions, you can easily feel like nobody is listening to you. Nobody cares, especially God. No. He's right there listening to your plea for help. And he's promised to hear us whenever we talk to him. Hang on to that promise. There is a lot of hope in those words. Now, in verse 19, David gave us another piece of hope. Listen to this. He said, "God will give ear and humble them." God will humble them. In other words, even if you are tempted to get even with that sucker because they hurt you, David said, no, turn it over to God and he will humble them. But he goes further. He puts it this way. He said he's very confident that God is going to humble them because of their sin against you. What makes David so confident in that? He explains. He adds, God will humble them because they do not fear God. And then he defines what he means by that statement. It's in verse 20. He said, they violated their covenant. They violated their covenant. Well, that certainly applies to the illustration of a divorce of Christians, a broken relationship before God. When a Christian man or a woman stand before God in marriage and they vow to be faithful to one another and then they're not, well, they've entered a covenant with one another and a covenant with God, and they've broken it. And if one of them breaks that covenant, God takes it very seriously. Now, if a person, any person who is a Christian, accepts God's word, they are under a covenant to love you. Love one another. That's what he said. And if they sin against you, they are breaking that covenant. It's not just a sin against you, it's a sin against God himself. And David says that somehow God at some point in time is going to humble them in some way because they are a covenant breaker and God hates covenant breakers. Question. Do you play a role in any of this? Yes, indeed you do. And your part is to turn it over to God. In the first place, step number one, the way David did. And we'll talk about that just a little bit more. But first, let's consider this. One side of that coin is the comfort that you could have in knowing that God promises to deal with them because they broke a covenant vow. But the other side of that coin is the possibility that you have also broken a covenant. At least in God's eyes. And remember, God takes that very seriously. Very seriously. As the illustration goes, when we point a finger at somebody, we have three fingers pointing back at us. Now, we come to the heart of Psalm 55. This is the best part. These are familiar words that have comforted Christians for centuries. Verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. The primary burden that David was talking about was bitterness because of betrayal by a trusted friend. He was bitter. And bitterness is a huge problem. It's very easy if you are bitter towards someone to become angry, judgmental, unforgiving, depressed, and more. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness. That's what it says. It doesn't say try to get better. It says get rid of it. It's a command. Get rid of all bitterness. Rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Get rid of it. Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I'm guessing that there's not one person here that doesn't have a little bit of bitterness in their life back there somewhere because of something or someone. And you may have real justification for feeling bitter. And you may have allowed it to cloud your life for years and years, even decades and decades. And you know what it is that made you bitter. And you know who it was who made you bitter. And you have been allowing it to rob you of the joy of your salvation. Do you want to be free from that bitterness? Do you want to? Do you want to be free from that bitterness? God never promised us a life without bitterness, but he gave us a remedy for it. He said, this is what I want you to do. This is what I need for you to do. Cast your burden on me. That's what he said. Cast it on me and I will sustain you. I've used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it again because I think it's too good. A pastor friend of mine was preaching on this passage, cast your burden upon the Lord, in the pulpit, and he brought with him a little rod and reel. And he had a weight on it. And he said, the problem is with us is that we treat that verse like a fisherman. We cast out into the water and then we reel it back in. And he literally cast a weight out into the middle aisle of the sanctuary. And he said, then we reel it back in. He said, that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to get rid of it. He wants us to cast the rod and the reel and the hook and the line and the sinker and get rid of it. And then he threw the whole thing out into the middle aisle, thud, right there. It made a huge impression on everyone. He said, let go, completely let go of it. That made quite a statement. And you know what? I thought about bringing a rod and reel here today and doing exactly the same thing. The truth is, I don't even own a rod and reel anymore, so I really couldn't bring one. And besides that, I probably would have hit Ed McGee on the head, and we would have had a problem. So, but I hope you got the message. I hope you got the message from Psalm 55. And listen to this. It's in 1 Peter 5:7. He said, cast all your anxiety on him. Does anybody have any anxiety? Anybody carrying around any anxiety? The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? Is anyone carrying around that anxiety, that fear? Are you listening to my voice? Or are you listening to God's voice? He not only cares for you, brothers and sisters, but he takes care of you. If and when you place your trust in his hands, in his strong, holy hands, I'm done. I'm finished. But instead of my leading in a prayer, which we often do at this moment, I want to close by having private prayer. I'm going to ask you to search your mind and your heart and your memory. And if there is any root of bitterness in you, even going back to your childhood if necessary, pray to God right now and ask him to take it away and set you free. Cast your burden and your anxiety on him.